The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today. In the 06010.
We are on to Wednesday, which means we are officially headed into Week 8, Field Yates. I'm going to slide even closer to Mike Clay, who is with us today, as well as Stefan Yappel, the usual Wednesday crew. We got a lot of news for a Wednesday. We got some trades. We got some information to break down. The rich got richer yesterday, but good to have you both on the show. Shall we crank it up today or what?
Let's do it. Lots to get to.
Really? You're excited, Stefan? How
I'm
are
excited.
You feeling about the show today?
I'm good.
You're not as excited,
Stefania. Yeah,
I'm waiting. I'm waiting to see what you guys say about the Emmanuel Sanders trade.
Yeah, it's trade season.
Yeah, it is a busy, jam-packed show. We got plenty of news, and in that light, we want to make sure that we get right to it. So, Jackson, hit that drop.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Jackson doing an admirable job filling in for Daniel today, and Stefania just mentioned it. She wants to know what we thought about the 49ers trading for Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders shipped to the 49ers along with a fifth-round draft pick in exchange for a third and fourth-round draft pick. So essentially a mid-round pick goes to Denver in exchange for Emmanuel Sanders and the final 10 games of his current contract, plus possible postseason action for San Francisco. Mike, your initial reaction to this trade and what it means for the Niners was what?
I think it's a disaster for the Niners. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, they needed a number one wide receiver. I think we've seen that on display so far. Part of it's been injuries. Part of it has been development of young players. I mean, we were talking about this before the show. If you look at the current fantasy rankings of their wide receivers right now, Deebo Samuel is their top scoring fantasy receiver. He is 78th
wow.
in fantasy points.
Yeah.
There goes 79, 98, 103, 113. I mean, they're just not getting enough production from that position. So enter Sanders. This is a guy that during his first five seasons with the Broncos had a target share of at least 25% each of those seasons. I mean, he was heavily utilized. Obviously, that dropped off a little bit this season after this recent slump. But out of the gate, he was strong. Through week four, he was wide receiver 12 in fantasy points. The volume is there and the production. He's only had 10 targets in three games since. But I think he, you know, again, with all the question marks behind him aside of, I guess, George Kittle in the passing game, he's going to play a pretty significant role. If there's one concern I have in fantasy, it is this low-volume offense. Right? They're the game script-adjusted run-heaviest offense in the NFL, only averaging 30 dropbacks per game. Could they open it up a little bit now? Sure, but to what extent? Especially with the defense playing so well, they're going to be able to run the football. So for me, he files in as a, I'll say, a back-end wide receiver three, maybe safest as a flex option, but there's certainly starting lineup value here.
All right, Stefania, chime in. This is your team, your beloved 49er. What was your reaction?
I know. Well, so I was off the grid quite a bit yesterday because I was actually out in
boondoggling.
And I was out in St. Louis talking to the future PTs of America. So it was it was actually really nice. And I thank the folks at St. Louis University for having me. Be that as it may, of course, you know, my phone is pinging, and I'm trying not to pay attention to the fact the 49ers made a trade. I think I was just sort of curious about the cost. I mean, does it end up being an expensive trade for them? Because really, you're getting half a season of Emmanuel Sanders. But I think the thing that's exciting about it is it tells me where the 49ers' mental process is at. Like, we are trying to do something to have an impact now for this year, and as you mentioned, field into the postseason. I liked what I saw out of Emmanuel Sanders just from a physical standpoint. When we first saw him playing, we saw that some burst and explosiveness that we weren't sure was going to be there post Achilles. So I think he provides a dimension for them that they don't have right now. I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan wants Dante Pettis and has wanted him to sort of move up to this top elite receiver. And I'm not sure he hasn't shown that he can consistently be there yet.
So good point there, because I think my takeaway from a fantasy perspective was if you previously rostered Emmanuel Sanders, I'm not sure you're overly thrilled this morning because of the change of scenery. I'm not sure that you're disappointed because of the change of scenery. His value to your lineup is comparable. But I think if you were somebody that had been holding out hope on Dante Pettis, or maybe holding out hope for even more from Deebo Samuel, maybe you should tell yourself that patience is an important virtue to have. Pettis even rosterable right now?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think you could drop Deebo Samuel too. He's dealing with a groin now. He missed some time. They have Marquise Goodwin, who's going to get some run in the perimeter. Dante Pettis has been manning the slot and has actually been their number one, essentially, the past few weeks. So I just don't think there's much value there behind Sanders and Kittle at this point.
Other side of the coin is what it means for the leftover pieces in Denver. And Cortland Sutton has become the number one wide receiver in Denver already. That shouldn't change. If anything, his target value volume should go up even a little bit more. But I think Deshaun Hamilton might be the sort of trickle-down winner from a fantasy perspective here. Hamilton, over the last four games of last season, when Emmanuel Sanders was also out because of that Achilles injury, just piled up catches. I believe it was 25 in the last four games of last season. Now, the sort of downside of it is just that, you know, of those 25 catches, they went for like a combined 200 yards.
Yep, 182,
182 yards. So 7.2 yards per catch for a player. That's a running back average yards per catch, not a wide receiver average yards per catch. But Mike, maybe in a deeper league, there's some value there just because of the volume.
Yeah, and maybe he takes a step forward now in a larger role in his second season, but we haven't seen that so far. He's actually been on the field for 63% of their snaps already, which is a decent margin, only 2.9 targets per game. And you mentioned 5.4 yards per target last year was really bad. He's at 5.3 so far this year. It's a small sample, but that is a very low number. Only 6.3 average depth of target. It's all underneath short area work, but he's only caught 55% of his targets so far. So I'm really worried about efficiency. Is Deshaun Hamilton up to the task? Is he a good NFL football player? So far, he has shown us that he is not, but can he turn the corner? Absolutely. Is he worth a bench spot in the event that he takes a step forward or sees a ton of volume like last season? Absolutely, but I wouldn't put him in my lineup just yet.
Zach Zenner was released yesterday. My interpretation is that Alvin Kamara, who missed last week because of that ankle injury and also the knee injury, I think contributed to it as well. I think he's going to be back. I think there's a good chance he'll be back on Sunday against Arizona. Stefania, what say you, the person who actually has good medical intel on such things?
Yeah, the Saints have not offered us any insight. Sure. I think the only tip has been the fact that Zach Zenner was released, and that's how I'm interpreting it as well. You know, Alvin Kamara tried to play through the ankle before and obviously aggravated it. And then came out with the knee injury, so they held him out last week. But I never got the sense that either injury was really significant. Yeah. It was more that they didn't think he could be effective, and the extra rest time would help.
Heck, for their standpoint, I'm not sure it matters. This team is so ridiculously well-oiled right now that they could beat anybody, any place, any Sunday with that defense and that functional passing game. But it certainly seems like Alvin Kamara has a better chance of playing this week than we would have suspected at this time last week, when it was pretty clear that the team had some concerns about him being available. They play the Cardinals on Sunday in New Orleans, so we'll keep an eye on Alvin Kamara's practice status later on today, the first day of practice reports for the week for the teams that are playing on Sunday. We've got a ton of injury updates to get to, and Stefania, some of these might be better served to be discussed tomorrow, but people are asking already, so let's rip through them. We begin with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Matt Ryan injured his ankle in last week's game. And if you saw him, you know, he was definitely limping, reportedly in a walking boot afterwards. I don't think we know yet whether he's going to be able to play, but the way he was moving, which was not well, it did not look good. If you look at the Falcons' schedule, there's a game this week, and then they have a bye week. Again, if he could play and play safely, they would start him. But when you look at all the information that we have right now, it wouldn't surprise me if he misses this game.
We'll dive deeper into what it would mean for others. Matt Schaub is the next man up on the depth chart at the quarterback spot. You can decide what that means. How about Patrick Mahomes, Stefania, the injury of the NFL season in so many ways? The Chiefs begin their practice week this week, or excuse me, today for the Packers on Sunday night.
I loved Andy Reid's comment. It was my favorite comment. I was like, thank you, Andy Reid, for saying this, because he basically said, I'm going to quote him here. Well, he said it would be a stretch for him to play Sunday, so put that in your thinking cap. But he said, I don't think you put a timeline on this thing. You go off how he feels and what the doctors say and go with it. And he sort of said, look, I know everybody wants a timeline, but you really don't have one. That is the truth. And so this is going to be, how does he feel daily? And that workload could even fluctuate. You know, they might bring him out and do a little work. It doesn't feel so good. They scale him back. And I would encourage people to remember that the high ankle sprain he was dealing with, that was a real problem coming into last week's game. And so now they got a chance for him to recover from both injuries. Just don't see the Chiefs rushing things here. So stay tuned. It will be a daily update. There is no official timeline.
We got news yesterday that Kerryon Johnson was being placed on IR for the Lions. No corresponding move as of yet, Stefania, with that knee injury that caused him to have surgery.
Right. And for fantasy purposes, you're done with Kerryon Johnson, because even if they, for some reason, elected to have him return, it wouldn't be until the end of the year. And I think that the Lions, of course, don't give us detail on what the nature of the injury was. We know he had a surgical procedure. Matt Patricia addressed that when they said they were putting him on IR. But if you look just in general, this globally, thinking about Kerryon Johnson's health, a knee injury ended his season last year, sprained MCL in week 11, only played 10 games. Here we are this year with this. It's just not a great start to his young career.
Mike, let's take a bite out of week 8 later on in the show. But for the rest of the season, or at least for the bigger picture standpoint, now the team, Lions, did say that Kerryon Johnson could return, but that, you know, if they're not in the playoff picture, then he wouldn't return. We'll
and
see.
Even so, like,
yeah, for fantasy, it doesn't matter,
back,
right?
Like, you're not putting him in your
Yeah, in champ, it would be your championship week 16. Right. Like, so it would be too risky.
Ty Johnson, next man up, six-round pick this year out of Maryland, explosive player in college. Sort of your impressions of the Detroit backfield right now, understanding that at any moment we're one Schefter tweet away from them adding somebody else, whether it's promoting Paul Perkins from the practice squad. Remember, they did claim Trey Carson off of waivers last week. So there are other players that could contribute to this backfield besides Ty Johnson.
And that's my concern, and that's why I wasn't super aggressive on waivers last night, because you love it short term, right? I mean, at least this week you would expect him to be in the 14 to 16 carry range, maybe three targets.
Let's get into week 8 a little bit later on, but just for the bigger picture.
Well, I'm
standpoint.
Saying in general, that's what I should have said. Long term, you might expect that on a week to week basis. But if they sign someone, an impact player, but not to mention J.D. McKissick's there and they like him in passing situations, he won't necessarily get that, and then you just spent a huge ton of your capital on him. So if waivers hasn't cleared, I would keep that in mind for sure. But as for, long-term, I mean, a little bit undersized. Obviously, you mentioned he's explosive. Didn't do much pass catching in college as well. So I'm just a little nervous about him showing that he is a long-term starting caliber player in the NFL, and essentially he's going to lose snaps and not end up being a consistent fantasy option. So for me, I'll put a few bucks out there, get him on my roster, maybe start him short term, but I'm not sure he's the long term answer for your lineup.
By the way, there were people that were frustrated when Kerryon Johnson, a superior talent, wasn't becoming the go to guy unto himself, right? I mean, CJ Anderson, until he was cut, was part of the Lions backfield mix. So I think that expecting one player, specifically a 6th round pick this year, to all of a sudden become the man in the backfield might be wishful thinking. We're going to preview this game with more context tomorrow, but Stefania, Adam Thielen dealing with that hammy issue.
Right, and he didn't participate in Tuesday's walkthrough, but Mike Zimmer throwing some positive vibe out there saying, you know, he's healing fast and he has a chance for Thursday. I talked with Courtney Cronin as well. Neither of us think he's really going to start this game. I mean, it's just hamstring injuries are so easy to aggravate and so easy to make it worse. If he got away with a mild hamstring injury, because it didn't look good when it happened, he was very slow to get up and then did not return to the game. So if you're a team that really wants this guy to stay healthy, now I know he hasn't missed a game in like 5 seasons of his career, which is really impressive as wide receiver, but it might be wise to sit this one out and have him back healthier for week 9 if indeed it was a mild strain.
Perhaps a sign of what's going to happen with Will Fuller is that the Texans just signed Stephen Miller Jr. from the practice squad. That, according to Aaron Wilson, who covers the team for the Houston Chronicle. Savanya, Will Fuller, unfortunately, his career has been
defined.
In some ways, defined by injuries and big plays.
Outstanding big play ability, injury history. Listen to this. 2016, he played 14 games. 2017, he played 10. 2018, he played 7 games. We're 7 games into this season for them. This is, for Will Fuller, I think, going to be the story that he says he wants to try and overcome it, but it's just, he's not been able. And he's been on the injury report, groin, oblique, like other issues. And then ultimately now this hamstring injury, which sounds like a multi-week problem.
Marquise Brown for the Ravens, Stefania, has not played over the past 2 weeks with that ankle issue. He has been banged up himself, obviously. Came into the league banged up with that Lisfranc issue that dated back to his days at Oklahoma. What's the latest there?
I think that the wise move here was not to play him. You know, he traveled with the team, even though he hadn't practiced all week, and they left the door open. But when you're coming off major foot surgery, I said this before, that and you have an ankle issue, you want to be really careful that you don't throw this young, talented receiver back too soon, end up with a bigger problem. Wide receiver coach David Culley said he does expect him back after the Ravens week 8 bye. So look for him back in week 9.
I believe they play the Patriots in week 9.
Yes, they do.
That will be certainly a favorable time to get back a player of Marquise Brown's explosiveness and caliber. Last one here, Stefania, is AJ Green. We've been talking about AJ Green. It feels every week since July.
We've got something. We have a new update here. What's he doing this week?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, everybody's wondering, what's going to happen? I mean, there was trade talk. There were all this conversation. Bottom line, from a health standpoint, is that AJ Green's been seen working out on the side. I don't know if you guys have caught any of the video. He looks phenomenal when you see him doing these workouts. The guy is just incredibly dedicated to his craft and to his rehab. He's always come back really strong when he's had big injuries before. But the bottom line is he has to practice before he can even be considered to play. He hasn't practiced yet. And Zach Taylor has said he needs to have full practice clearance to even be considered for playing in a game. Seems like a big jump to go through this week, but stay tuned. As of right now, no practice yet for him.
One thing to add here, 31-year-old wide receiver in the final year of his contract has one more chance to probably cash in a notable way, whether it's with the Bengals or somebody else. If I were him, I would be making sure that I'm 110% by the time that I return.
Especially I feel like he has
for an 0-17, no question. I still think they should trade him, but I also know that hashtag the Bengals. Mike, tell us about ADT before we get into some overachievers and some underachievers from this past week.
I will. I am a happy ADT customer.
Is that right?
So you're
also an overachiever in life.
Indeed. Fantasy Focus Football, did you know, is brought to you by ADT, as it turns out.
How about that?
That's probably why we're doing this read. That would make sense.
You know,
maybe.
You are nothing if not lightning quick.
Yeah.
There we go. Put two and two together quickly. What does real protection mean for our listeners? Well, let me tell you. You can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you and your family. You get 18,000 employees safeguarding them with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT app, or the sound of your voice. You can get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You can get a system custom designed to fit your home. And you can get safety on the go, in the car, or when your kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button.
Thank you, Mike. Let's get now to a couple of over and underachievers from this past week. And, you know, and maybe in some ways, Mike, the Colts do come across as overachievers, right? This is a team that had Andrew Luck stun the football world with his retirement on a Saturday during the football preseason. And here they are, 4-2, first place in their division, and a team that has the culture, the complexion of a playoff team going forward and doing so for many years. And their quarterback overachieved this past week.
He did, as well as his top performing wide receiver. So Jacoby Brissett scored 28 points this past week. His expected total, or his OFP, was 18. Zach Pascal had 29 points. He had the two touchdowns in the game, but his expected was 14. So what does that mean? What are we trying to tell you here? Just keep expectations in check going forward for these guys. That said, there is still some room for optimism, right? A career-high 4 touchdowns for Brissett on Sunday. He has 2-plus touchdowns in 5 of 6 games this season. That's terrific. That's what you want out of your fantasy quarterback, which, I mean, really the incredible thing about Brissett is back in 2017, he made 16 starts. He reached 2 passing touchdowns in only 3 of those games. I mean, he's already blown that number out of the, we're not even halfway yet. He's already passed that number. So he's been pretty good. He's actually finished all 6 of his 2019 starts as a top 20 quarterback. Only Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson can say the same. So he at least he's not crushed you. And at times he's thrown a bunch of touchdowns. You'll like that for sure. 3 of his past 4 starts, he's been a top 11 quarterback. If there's one kind of drawback here, it's that 82% of their touchdowns have been passes. Their expected total still high at 70%, but you would expect more of those touchdowns to go to Marlon Mack. So keep that in mind going forward. And by the way, really quick on Zach Pascal, 7 targets, 2 of his past 3 games. Again, a little over his head this past week, but, you know, is he the new number 2 for the Colts? If he locks down that job, I mean, he's 6'2", 20, has some good size. If he's the number 2 in this offense that, again, is scoring a lot through the air, there could be a little bit of deep league value there.
If I'm not mistaken, that 7 targets in 2 out of the past 3 games was sandwiched with a 0 target game in between. Is that correct?
Yeah, but they've been rotating Deon Kane and some other guys in there.
Right,
Paris
which makes
Campbell
it really
back.
Tough, right?
Right, but like, if he does lock down that job, that's
if he does lock it down. So I said yesterday on the show, like, I'm not there yet on Zach Pascal.
Yeah.
If he does a couple more games of comparable production, then of course I would be there for the reasons that you are laying out. Meanwhile, no one likes to underachieve in life. No one likes to be the, I don't know, insert your decision of who the biggest underachieving NFL team is. And maybe, Mike, in some ways, it feels like the Chargers.
Yes, the Chargers for sure. It's incredible how injuries have just crushed them again. How many times have we been saying this? It's just unbelievable how many guys are out for them. Melvin Gordon, big surprise, one of the biggest underachievers of week seven. His expected total of points was 27 based on his usage. He scored 9 fantasy points. Just a very, very disappointing week. I think if you look forward at this point, it's a close call between Gordon and Eckler, at least now, who you start in your lineups. I think they're both fringe top 20 plays right now. The efficiency for Gordon hasn't been there. 2.25 yards per carry. Honestly, that hasn't been there for Eckler running the ball either all season because
Eckler's
of that.
Value is the pass catching. Yeah. And he's been amazing as a receiver. Of his catches.
Well, I was making the contention on the show on Monday is that, like, I get why the Chargers are not giving a lot of carries to Austin Eckler. Like, I don't know what his yards after first contact are, but I would guess of late it's well below league average.
Not great. Yeah.
Not great. But neither is Melvin Gordon's, which is part of the problem.
Right. Yeah, they can't run the ball, but they can. Obviously, Austin Eckler is a tremendous resource as a pass catcher. In fact, over the past 3 weeks since Gordon's been back, he has 25 catches, 218 yards, and a touchdown. And he's actually out-snapping Gordon, too, during
He's playing wide receiver now. Yeah.
Melvin Gordon had said, like, he couldn't get in a rhythm. They were going to get him more carries. Well, he got the carries this week. Yeah. He got the ball. He touched the ball much more.
Sad, though, because he's aware of it. He's hearing all the noise right now. You can tell. Melvin Gordon's addressing it.
Sometimes when you try and press, though, you know, as an athlete, you try and press, and you just... It's not there. And I felt like it was painful to watch that goal line effort last week for me. Because I felt like it was almost like you felt like he knew it wasn't going to happen. And then the confidence goes. And does that have anything to do with why he fumbles? I don't know. But it's just been tough to watch. It's almost like I want him to go away for one more week and reset and then come back.
It certainly has been a difficult season out of the gate so far for the Chargers, who are 2-5. Hopefully they can, for their own sake, hopefully they can win on Sunday against Chicago. All right, let's just, I tell this Keith Barter from Yes Me yesterday, hard pivot now to talk about something that is difficult to talk about, because talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. People usually just brush it off or blame themselves, saying things like, lost my mojo. Or people avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you for free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and again, discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/FFF and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor to take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/FFF to get a free visit online and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/FFF for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/FFF. Every week, Mike Clay pens a column. Well, he pens several of them, but one of them is called Fantasy 32. It looks at every single team with a fantasy angle tight end, and we go back to the undefeated, yet to be tested defensively, dominant in so many metrics on defense, and yet they are crushing it on offense as well, specifically through the running game, San Francisco 49ers. Tevin Coleman, Mike, looks like the guy right now in the backfield.
No question about it. If you look at the snaps so far since he's been back, he's played 107. Matt Breida has played 68, and the other guys have kind of been non-factors, playing very little. So he seems to be the guy here. And I know that's a little bit inflated for Coleman because Breida missed some time with the injury this past week, but nonetheless, he's clearly been the guy. And it's led to a lot of carries and a lot of fantasy production. His carry totals in 3 games back, 16, 18, and 20. His weekly fantasy finishes, 19th, 17th, and 23rd. Only 9 targets in 4 games. You don't love that, but you do love the fact that, again, this is the game script adjusted run heaviest offense in the NFL, and he is the clear lead back. I have him ranked 16th this week against the Panthers. I think he's going to be a fringe RB2 at worst going forward, as long as he's clearly the lead back, and that's the case right now.
Yeah, sure looks that way. I mean, I know that this has been a conversation since before the start of the season, was what was the split going to look like between Coleman and Breida? Because you always felt like Shanahan's inclination was to go Coleman 1, Breida 2 at like a 60-40 or 65-35, but it seems like it's kind of little leaning in his favor a little more than that right now.
Mike, Kenny Still should play a lot. We talked about Will Fuller earlier on in the show. He sounds like he's going to miss some time. We don't know if it's a short period or a long period of time, but Kenny Stills, who has one very comparable skill to Will Fuller, He can fly. One of the better deep ball receivers in the NFL. His value is on the rise.
Yeah, and with the injuries at wide receiver for Houston, now you understand why they wanted Kenny Stills in the offseason as a fourth receiver, right? It seemed like they were a little overloaded, but definitely makes some sense. Kenny Stills played 95% of the snaps for the Texans on Sunday. Obviously, Will Fuller went down after just a few plays, but what's notable about that 95% is that Kiki QT played 70%. So Stills has essentially stepped into the Will Fuller role as the number two, playing every down along with DeAndre Hopkins. You'll like that a lot. You also like that in Stills' past two games, his receiving lines are 4 for 105 back in week 7. And then back in week 3, which was the last full game he was healthy, put up a 4 for 89. So he has been productive as well. Good matchup against Oakland this week. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But in the short term, while Fuller's out, he is in position to provide wide receiver 3 numbers, maybe wide receiver 2 numbers. There's a lot of upside here, and the volume will be good as well.
All right, Mike, one more here is Gerald Everett, who in a position that's really difficult to find has emerged. And I know they play very different games, and Tyler Higbee was signed to a long-term contract because he's an outstanding blocker as well. But maybe the Rams have to find some money to pay Gerald Everett in about a year as well.
Yeah, no question. He has finally turned the corner and into a fantasy-relevant, consistent pass-catching option in the NFL and here in his third year. So you'll love to see it for sure. Have him tight end 8 against Cincinnati this week on my board. Team high in targets with 10 and air yards this past week for this this Rams offense. 5-plus targets in 4 straight games, including 8-plus in 3 of those 4 games. He has played a big role, and in fact, he's actually second in fantasy points among tight ends over the past week. If there's a red flag here, it's the fact that he's only run around in 57% of their pass plays. You'd like to see him out there a little bit more, but when he's out there, he's been targeted by Jared Goff, so you'll like that. His target share is around 20%. He's a tight end one at this point going forward, and the Cincinnati's defense hasn't seen a lot of targets against him from tight ends, but the efficiency has been poor, so he potentially is set up with a decent matchup.
Yeah, that might be more about who they have faced as opposed to some sort of like weakness or strength against tight ends and limiting those targets through the first 7 games of the season. We're going to get into some rankings, including a conversation surrounding David Johnson in just a bit. But first, a quick word for those of you watching on video from The Fantasy Show.
You in the whole 6-0-1-0.
As I mentioned, we're talking about David Johnson now. Of course, he missed, well, did not miss last week's game, but he might as well have, given the fact that he had just one touch, much to the chagrin of our friend and your favorite, Matthew Berry. Stefania, let's begin with a health update on David Johnson. Do you have anything to add as we get ready for the practice week ahead regarding Johnson and the Arizona Cardinals backfield?
Well, look, I just, from the health standpoint to recap, I won't recap the rant that happened in my absence.
You want to do your own rant?
He'll pass.
I already did in private. So, but look, he did not aggravate the ankle. It was that he tried it and could not go. And that's why they had him out early. It didn't feel right. So then they effectively made the decision in that moment. You know, we talk about the Marshawn Lynch being the healthy guy and then scratched like after he was already activated. It was essentially the equivalent of that. He was out there. He had the one carry, as you mentioned, field for 2 yards, only played 3 of 39 offensive snaps. I think he stepped in there when Chase Edmonds was sick to his stomach, and then Chase Edmonds was right back in and picking it up. So to me, and you guys can see it's reflected in the rankings because I did not rank David Johnson. I essentially ranked Chase Edmonds as the starter because that signaled that he was certainly not doing as well as they maybe hoped he could. You know, he fought through the back injury and played. He has performed well when injured before. This was completely different. So to me, until he proves it in practice and you really get more confidence about him going, I'm choosing to view him as somebody who's not playing until I'm convinced otherwise.
Mike, any disagreement there? I mean, I just think with David Johnson, if he does play on Sunday, it's actually not the health that concerns you so much. It's actually the matchup, because this New Orleans defense has been outstanding against running backs of late, at least on the ground.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, they've been terrific and pretty. I don't even have to get into it, because just assume they are near the best in the league in every category across the board, including the 4th most fantasy points allowed, only 3 touchdowns allowed to running backs as well. I will say this, though. David Johnson, we know, does a lot as a pass catcher. Even barely playing this past week, he's still top 5 at running back in routes, targets, receptions, yards, and receiving touchdowns. He plays such a huge role in that area that even if he gets stuffed for 12 carries and 24 yards, he could have a good fantasy day because of what he does as a pass catcher. So obviously we'll monitor his status this week. In the meantime, Chase Edmonds, a terrific handcuff, but I just think once Johnson's healthy, he's going to go right back to 30% of the snaps and is going to struggle to have sustainable or standalone value.
We went a bit more macro. Let's get a little more micro on not just Ty Johnson, but one other Lion. Ty Johnson specifically for this week. Across the board, none of us have him as a top 20 play. We all have him, though, as a top 26 play against the New York Giants. My argument is pretty simple. We expect Ty Johnson to lead the Lions in total touches amongst running backs. Kerryon Johnson was averaging 19.2 touches per game in his five games before getting hurt last week. So the volume was solid. If he assumes a Kerryon Johnson role, 24, which is my ranking for Ty Johnson, is probably too conservative. But Mike, as we've been talking about, not the matchup that concerns you. It is merely that maybe Paul Perkins gets promoted and maybe Trey Carson gets six carries and maybe J.D. McKissic snatches five carries and five targets as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my concern. And it is a good matchup. We'll say that. I mean, you look at the Giants defense so far, fifth most rushes against against running backs, sixth most rushing yards. They've allowed seven touchdowns rushing already. That's third most to running backs and the seventh most fantasy points, as well as some pretty bad efficiency from running backs as well against them. So you do like the matchup for sure. But again, you mentioned it. You're going to have all those other bodies mixed in. That's a factor. But when it all is said and done, I think he's going to end up in the 15 carry range with two or three targets, and that's enough to put him on the top 20 radar. So if you're a little shaky at running back, Johnson went down, maybe you scooped him up. Kerryon Johnson, of course, went down. Maybe you scooped him up, and you could file him in there as your RB2 or flex option this week. But nothing. I'm not going too crazy here. I don't think you're going to have like a Latavius Murray week seven sort of handcuff performance or Chase Edmonds, but he could be a solid option for you.
Remember, the process is more important than results in a lot of ways in fantasy football. Obviously, the results are what drive your happiness or lack thereof on Monday and Tuesday mornings, but process is important for us when we are evaluating players and the outlook for them. Last week, there was not major reason to believe that Marvin Jones would have a monster day. This week, perhaps there is, Mike, and it's not just because he got four touchdowns this past weekend on four end zone targets, which is three more than he had for the entire season prior to that. This is just a good matchup that I think you have your eyes on here against the Giants and their weak secondary.
No doubt. Would you be surprised to know that the Vikings did not shadow Kenny Golladay?
Really?
You would think I'm sure they shaded coverage toward him a little bit, but it's not like they had Rhodes locked on him and Rhodes had a good game or anything. It was nothing right. Like that. They just played their sides, and it just so happened Jones, you know, like you said, sometimes you can't predict this stuff. He just happened to be open a lot, and it worked out that way. And Danny Amendola had a good game, too. It just worked that way. So, excuse me. I don't think we're going to move the needle here on Jones a ton, but it is a good matchup. So, obviously, we're going to upgrade him for this matchup against the Giants. This was Jones' second top 30 week of the season. He's been outside of the top 53 times, so we're getting a little boom-bust production out of him so far. At the same time, 20% target share. That's a good number for a starting caliber fantasy wide receiver, and he's playing a lot of the snaps, almost 90%. He's 21st in OFP this year, so the expected fantasy point total is high. And you mentioned he'll see a lot of Janoris Jenkins and DeAndre Baker, a good matchup this week against a team allowing a lot of production to wide receivers. Not so much late, but the schedule has been crazy easy for them for the past month. But over the full season, when they played good receivers, it's been a problem. So I still I think you should be in lineups this week.
I just think maybe Matt Stafford has some recency bias. I mean, you know, if you have a guy you connect with and you have these four touchdowns, a couple of which were really impressive, are you just going, look, like this works. This is working right now. It's a good setup for them with the matchup, you think? That's why I was a little bit more favorable on Marvin Jones this week. But you just wonder how sustainable it is because we haven't seen him consistently be that guy.
Fantasy football can be confusing from time to time. Zach Ertz has been more confusing in real-life football than fantasy football. Just the target share has dropped so precipitously this year. Mike, you are a diehard Eagles fan. It's not so much that Zach Ertz is not a really awesome player. It's just that all of a sudden he's not being utilized anywhere close to where he was last season. And he is now facing a Bills defense that has at least an argument for the best safety duo in the NFL. He drops a little bit in our weekly rankings relative to where we would normally have him.
Yeah, and you mentioned his usage. I mean, his target share is only a little bit below last year. The problem is the efficiency has dropped off so substantially, and the Eagles are running the ball a little bit more. Only one touchdown this season. He hasn't cleared 72 yards. Last year, 116 catches. That was a tight end record. On pace for 80 this year. And again, a lot of that is efficiency. A 59% catch rate and 6.8 yards per target. Both are career low marks. I mean, they're doubling him. He has complained about that, and it has added up to some struggles this season for sure. The good news is, he leads tight ends in snaps and targets. So you like that volume. Maybe he can kind of turn it around going forward. Also, a candidate for some touchdown regression in the media is one touchdown and expected total of 2.7. By the way, the Bills, if you just look at the raw numbers, second best against tight end so far, but they face Evan Ingram, who had a decent game, is over 10 fantasy points. Mike Gesicki actually put up 4 for 41 against him. The others were Delanie Walker, who has been playing about half the snaps, Ryan Griffin, the Bengals, Tyler Eifert's the backup there at this point, and the Patriots with Izzo and Lacoste. So the schedule hasn't been too tough. I wouldn't be too worried about that, at least when evaluating Ertz.
Yeah, it's a really good point on Zach Ertz complaining about the double teams, because it may be that he is the only threat that is game-changing on that offense right now amongst Carson Wentz's pass catchers and running backs, and teams are just saying, fine, let Alshon Jeffrey or Nelson Agholor or somebody else beat us, because it's not going to be number 86, because he can and will beat us more often than not. We're going to take some social questions, but only after Stefania tells us about our good friend Dylan.
Dylan Miskowitz. Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidate supply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Let's rock.
Always one of our favorite kitten chip editions right there. Keith, take it away. It is all yours.
Got a handful of questions here for you. Greg wants to know, flex question, PPR flex, DJ Chark or Tevin Coleman?
Mike, you just talked about Tevin Coleman a minute ago. You start here. Who would you take out of those two players?
And I love DJ Chark too, but you've seen him regress a little bit the past couple of weeks. It makes sense. He's a little over his head in the touchdown department. Still love Chark, still a starter. It's got to be Tevin Coleman. We talked about the reasons why. He's been a solid fringe. He's been almost getting you to RB1 territory, so you got to start him.
Yeah, well, you know, I know you're going to think I'm just a homer, but I also have DJ Chark on fantasy team, where it's very important to me, and I have felt the weeks that have been off as much as I felt the weeks where he's been a rock star. Tevin Coleman, consistent volume, that's who I'm going with.
Fair enough. I will lean towards Tevin Coleman as well.
Gerald wants to know, for the rest of the season, Robbie Anderson or Sterling Shepard?
Kind of an unfair question, because we have no idea when Sterling Shepard will play. There are now 10 games left in the Jets season, 9 games left in the Giants season. Would you rather 10 guaranteed games of Robbie Anderson or 7 games of Sterling Shepard?
This is an easy one for me. I want Shepard, for sure. Okay. Look at his targets so far, 7, 11, 9, and 9. During those 4 weeks he played in full, he's wide receiver 17. And I know Golden Tate will be a factor here for sure. Obviously, Barkley, Ingram, they have a lot of mouse to feed suddenly. It's a weird thing to say, but he's going to be probably their number one wide receiver. I think he's a good player. I think he's the guy here.
Interesting. Okay, so...
yeah, I mean, being conservative on the... like, just the uncertainty makes me too nervous to... like, if somebody's saying, you have to commit today, I'm taking the guy who's active, but I don't like it, because as a player, in terms of if he was on the field, all things being equal, I would go with Shepard.
Yeah, and Robbie, I mean, his schedule will be easier, Robbie Anderson, but he still faces some shadow situations. Like, he's going to dodge Ramsey this week because he got traded, but A.J. Boye has been shadowing now. He's going to be on him, and he has several other instances like
that. I'm telling you, all things
that.
Being equal, I fully agree with you. I'm just nervous about Sterling Shepard.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I guess I positioned it as 10 versus 7 games, and Mike was very confident. If it was 10 versus 5, would you change your mind?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I do have optimism about Shepard returning very soon based on his comments, right?
Okay.
And I know, look, I know
right.
there's a
Take
lot more going on there.
Doctors and players.
No question.
Things, right?
But he made it sound like he may play this week. Or,
okay.
You know, he's very soon.
Keith?
Yeah, Steven wants to know, how has your ranking of David Montgomery changed in dynasty formats?
Yeah, dropping him. No, I'm kidding. But it's as disappointing of a player and before people jump, you know, get all fired up. This is not just a David Montgomery problem. I'm just saying the output that the draft pick of David Montgomery has produced is as disappointing of perhaps any player in fantasy football that has not been hurt and has played every game for his team so far this season. Just has been. He's woefully underperforming relative to expectations. For dynasty purposes, running backs are aplenty. Teams turn over the spot all the time, every offseason. I don't know. Would he even be like a top 15 dynasty running back for you right now?
No, I don't think so. I think he's still top 25. I think I had him around 20 to 22 in the last update a few weeks ago.
But by the end of the year, let's just imagine this. Okay, there's another great running back class coming out. What if, for example, I'm just thinking about teams that could, you know, just sort of like totally, what if the Chiefs made an investment in a running back, a young running back? You'd be like, oh, that's interesting to me, right?
Yeah.
What if any number of teams that have a semi-need at running back right now, if they jump to the front of that carousel, say, hey, you know, the Redskins made a first-round investment in running back, which I know they have Darius Geis. I'm not counting on it. What if the Bucks drafted a running back? So, yes, top 25 is fine, but I think the value is super low right now.
Yeah, and a part of it, I mean, you look at Jordan Howard, who has more production than all Bears running backs combined this year, just leaping from the Bears offensive line to the Eagles, and we thought he was trending the wrong way behind the Bears O-line last year. It's the same O-line,
right.
And they can't run the ball at all this season with any of their backs. So that tells you, that to me says, maybe it's not a Montgomery problem, because we know run blocking is so important to running back efficiency. Maybe they make some fixes down the road and he turns the corner and is still a very good back. I still believe in the talent there. I'm not throwing in the towel halfway through the season.
But you have to move
him down for a short-term situation, which is not great in Chicago.
Keith?
Yeah, Jay says that he added Mo Sanu because Field said he would be a top 30 receiver down the stretch. He'd like to know what Stefania and Mike think about his value in New England.
I said could, but I'll take would, whatever. So if you guys, do you guys download and listen or just download?
No.
Download and delete quickly.
Yeah. At 2x speed through Matthew's
Can we
rant.
Get this guy off the podcast? Download and delete? Come on.
Like of course not. I'm being sarcastic. Of course not. Why would I do that?
No.
I made the case that there's a chance that Mohamed Sanu could be a top 30 wide receiver for the Patriots. I'm sorry, for fantasy the rest of the season. The Patriots love this guy. They've been hot to trot on him for a while. You guys think I am crazy, smart, or somewhere in between?
I saw one of the all-time great analogies. My dear friend Melissa Jacobs, who's the football girl, said that Mo Sanu has been moved from a crowded seat in the back of the plane with two passengers on either side who are barefoot to a lie flat bed in first class by going to the Patriots.
Pretty good, right there.
Actually, you know, these receivers all dream of going into that offense, and I certainly think he's been consistent. I think he's going to move up. We don't know when Josh Gordon will be back. I agree with you, Field. And the hard part is consistency with Patriots because you never know who's going to be that guy.
I ever told you that you are the most brilliant and well thought out and researched and just probably one of the most charming people here at ESPN I've ever met?
Go on, Field. Stop.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Yeah. Seriously, you deserve a raise.
Oh, wait. Who's listening? Where are my bosses?
A vacation.
Nobody.
Home.
Remember, they just
download. My answer now?
No one's listening.
Sure, Mike.
My answer is I like that example for sure. But the problem is when Sanu goes to that comfy bed and lays down, he's just about to fall asleep and suddenly Josh Gordon jumps on top of him and Julian Edelman's taking up a bunch of space. And suddenly Ben Watson is a factor. And here comes Philip Dorsett zooming down the aisle. He leaps onto the bed. James White is taking up a huge corner
of
the bed.
To plane.
There's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense. And when Edelman's healthy and Gordon's healthy, and they're going to mix in Dorsett and maybe Jakobi Meyers take one or two targets. And
N'Keal
Harry will be back at some point. They traded around two pick for him. You have to think that they want to use him a lot, but he could be more valuable to this team as a punt returner and maybe get a few carries and maybe throw a pass and get three or four targets.
Oh.
Is that going to translate to consistent fantasy value? I'm a little nervous about it.
Here's the thing. I think that, in the Patriots, my experience of watching them has been like, if you are out there and you're performing well and Tom Brady likes you and likes throwing you the ball, you pretty much stay being that guy.
But then who loses? That's the question.
The guys who aren't playing right now. I mean, I think, certainly Josh Gordon, all things considered, he's had some trouble with staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Just in addition to the context of his larger situation. So they're probably reluctant to overutilize or rely on him too much, if you will.
Totally fair.
All right, Keith, one more question.
Just got a couple here.
Right.
El Eddie Lopez wants to know, and there are actually a few in here the last couple of days about this, is Damian Williams droppable?
Damian Williams
I know that's a large question, but if you want to do it by certain number of leagues, 10-team, 12-team.
Did you know the player who has the most rushes this season without a 10-yard rushing attempt? Damian Williams.
Mm-hmm.
41 chances and zero rushes over 10 yards.
Yeah, it's been bad, and he's not even getting the target volume we want from him right now. And Patrick Mahomes is out for a few weeks.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Darrell Williams, Darwin Thompson obviously should be on waivers. LeSean McCoy should be considered for your flex spot. Damian Williams is a fine bench hold because of the offense. And if McCoy gets hurt again, Damian could get 15 touches. And they could be inefficient touches, but in the Chiefs offense with Mahomes back, that could be very valuable.
Droppable if you really need the spot for a player that you're going to utilize. Like if you need to replace your quarterback this week because you have Mahomes or Matt Ryan, droppable. Droppable just to sort of pad your depth elsewhere, I would say just keep Damian Williams.
Last one here for you. From multiple users, and I can give you some scenarios here, but basically the question is it wrong to consider sitting Odell Beckham Jr. this week against the Patriots? Those who asked mentioned having these players, just to give you an idea. One said Lockett, one said Diggs, one said Juju Smith-Schuster.
I think Lockett and Diggs, it's no problem at all, right?
I totally am. I agree. Lockett, Diggs, yes.
I'm fine with it. I mean, because it's not like sitting them feels good. Like, if you sit Tyler Lockett, it's not like, ooh, wow, like I sat Tyler Lockett against the second worst defense in football this year, the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
Not bad. Like, that's, I mean, that's not good.
Yeah, I ranked Beckham wide receiver 15. They're playing the Patriots, of course. I don't feel great about that. I have Juju 22nd. They're playing Miami. I have no problem if you want to start Smith-Schuster. I'm trying in one of my home leagues to get Beckham on my bench. Luckily, I have some receiver talent with guys like McLaurin and Robert Woods. I think of Godwin in that league. So I'm like, you know what? It's close enough. Maybe I just stay away from this Patriots defense. They're just too good. They're too good right now.
Maybe until further notice, you just kind of avoid, even with the very best of players. And we know that Odell is one of the very best, despite the confusing target usage sometimes this year and just the inefficiency of that Browns defense overall. We're coming back tomorrow. We'll have a game preview. It's Redskins and Vikings. I believe the game is in Minnesota. We've got wide receiver cornerback talk from Mike, plus a lot of reaction because, as we know, first day of practices for teams playing on Sunday, plus some social questions. Right now, we're going to say goodbye to those of you that are watching on the live stream, but for those who are listening to the audio version, time now to hand it over to our friend Matthew Berry, who's hanging out with Nat Coombs. Take it away, TMR.
A tradition like no other, and that is our friend Nat Coombs coming on the week before a London game. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Nat Coombs. He's the host of the Nat Coombs Show on ESPN. Who knew we were colleagues these days, Nat?
I know. Who'd have thunk it, Matthew Berry, after all these years? Incidentally, the name of that show, let me tell you, that took months. Some of the greatest creative minds here at
ESPN
UK locked in a room for hours. We did. We paid a branding agency thousands of pounds, and that's what we ended up with, which
Fair
I'm
enough.
Sure you'll agree was the correct title.
So if anyone wants to listen to the Nat Coombs Show, where can they do it? How can they do it?
All available podcatchers, of course. You get out to ESPN, whether you listen to your pods there, iTunes, Spotify, all the places you listen to pods. We drop 4 episodes a week. We drop video as well, just like you guys are doing as well. I'm impressed with all this video re-upping over the last few years on the ESPN UK YouTube channel. Just like a lot of your listeners listen to you on the Pod Center, same place, the Nat Coombs Show is available there as well. So get involved, all get stuck in.
Absolutely. And I assume you're like me, which is like, you don't care if they listen. You just want the downloads. You just want the clicks. 100%.
100%. Just subscribe, download. Don't care if you don't listen to a second of it, to be honest. I'm just absolutely fine with the metrics and the numbers, just like you were all after all these years.
Absolutely. It's a very smart way to game the system. All right. So we'll all check out the Nat Coombs Show on ESPN. So you're over there in London, and I'm just curious, Nat, are you as excited? Are you guys as excited to host the Bengals this week as we are to have the Bengals out of the country for a week?
Sure. Yeah. By the way, do you like the backdrop? We made this specially for you, TMR's Big Ben. I think you might be able to see in the background a customized. Yeah, I thought you'd like that. We can't
you go
wait
to local
to
Kinko's and print something up? What's that? Where'd you get that?
That took me half an hour just before they told me it was a hard on here. So I had to running around print shops all around Soho in London, getting that done for your TMR. Otherwise, it would have been just a black screen, which would be very disappointing. But yeah, in answer to your question, we can't wait for the Bengals to come over. Quite frankly, and not being sarcastic, for two reasons, because It has been proven with all the London games, and the first one was back in 2007, and that was an absolute stinker. That was the New York Giants, who went on to win the Super Bowl that year, taking on the Dolphins, and it was raining. It was a real slugfest. Cleo Lemon was playing quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, if you need to know anything more about that.
Yeah, no, I remember Cleo Lemon. I remember Cleo Lemon, and Cleo. If I'm reading correctly here, I'm just sort of reading between the lines, Nat, are you basically calling a Bengals Super Bowl this year?
That's essentially what I'm calling right here, right now on your show. I am calling, really, is a lot of the time the games are announced in London, and I know there's a bit of fun over in the States about it because the matchups don't look great. But the interesting thing is when games are called and some of the critics over here say, oh, that doesn't look like, that isn't a very good team, it can end up being a very good game. One of the best games we saw was the Redskins-Bengals 3-4 years ago, which was a tie, the only game that's been tied in London. And it was a thriller. Kirk Cousins absolutely stormed it. Great game. But on paper, it looked like it would be a bust. So even though the Bengals are not at the races this season, I think it won't matter a jot. And also, we're seeing the Rams. We're seeing a bit of Hollywood style. The whole Jalen Ramsey thing has added a bit of spice there as well. So I think we're just still very happy to catch football up close, and it's a fantastic experience. So I don't think you get too many fans bemoaning the fact it's the Bengals, even if they are rubbish.
Fair enough. And look, look, the Rams shouldn't put up a lot of points, obviously, given the Bengals' defense there. So you'll get to see that. That'll be a lot of fun. I remember that Redskins-Bengals game because the Redskins missed a field goal. Dustin Hopkins missed a field goal to win that game. So yes, it doesn't matter what country the Redskins play in. They can find excruciating ways to lose. It's sure. Like, it's sort of the universal language of the Redskins. Speaking of that, I'm just curious. Because, you know, you and I, you've been on the show many, many times. You're a longtime friend of the show, friend of the podcast. And so you and I have known each other for a long time. And so one of the things you always like to do when you come on the show is you sort of give me the British slang. I'll be like, hey, how do I say this over there? That there's like, you know, different British slang and terms you guys use that we don't necessarily use in the States. So what is the British slang, or how would you say over there that someone bones you? The way the Bengals bone their fans. So I was just curious, like, how you're going to when you're calling this game, Nat, on Sunday, how will you describe the Bengals boning their fans once again?
We've got to be very, very careful at this stage. As we've established earlier on, I've got a brand new ESPN show that I don't want taken off the air within the first couple of weeks. This is a family show. And also, I should point out, I have a cracked rib from playing five-a-side soccer earlier in the week. So you can't make me laugh, TMR. That particular word has a number of different connotations in London, in the UK, as I'm sure it does over in the States as well. The one I'm going to go with is that the Bengals are going to be very poor on Sunday, and they're going to disappoint the Cincinnati Bengals fans over here. So I will steer towards disappoint and leave it at that. But you have reminded me of something, because we do go way back.
Yep.
And I was thinking, when was the first time we ever met and I ever came on your show? And it was back in 2010, would you believe?
Yeah. 2010. I was going to guess somewhere around there. Right. You were visiting ESPN and you popped in and we hit it off and we're like, well, pop on the show. And ever since, it's been a tradition like no other. So yes, 2010.
I had my top three, 06-010 power ranking appearances. I was working those out coming on here. That was my number three. Not least because I rocked up at Bristol. That was the first time I was working for ESPN over here in the UK. So I was, 9 years ago, whatever it was, I was doing a studio show over here and I was heading over, had meetings in New York, in LA, and I was in Bristol for the day. I think you thought I'd flown over to Bristol for the show.
That's
so
correct.
That was the first one. You were thinking, what is this British guy doing having flown 5,000 miles to come on the pod?
I'm always amazed anyone wants to come on the show. Yeah.
Even now. I mean, this was a contractual obligation because of my new pod to come on here, just to be clear on that. So that was my number three. Number two, you might remember the time that I had a hit on the show, and it was all last minute because I was tied up somewhere else, and I ended up trying to find somewhere quiet, which was a glass elevator in a restaurant in London. So I was going up and down this three-floor restaurant in a glass elevator on a stool while quite bemused customers were coming in and out while doing your show. So that was number two. But number one, my power rankings at 06010 appearances was the time I was working for a rival broadcaster, a rival media outlet. We'll leave it at that. And there was this, I took a pause in filming. It wasn't a live show, so I could go outside and record a spot on your show on a rival network. So that
you stopped your own show to do our show and then continued your own show. Well, your dedication has never been questioned. Your taste, somewhat. Man. Yeah, you know, like you could probably, you could aim for better shows to be on, but your dedication, my friend, has never ever been question at all. So look, we expect a lot of point, you know, two reasonably functional offenses here and two not great defenses, so we expect a lot of fantasy points to be scored. It's gonna be a fun game here that we're looking for. Do you have any thought? I remember you at the top of the show, you said you had something you wanted to ask me, so I was curious.
Are we talking football now? We're just going to talk nonsense.
Whatever
the whole
you want
time.
To do, it's nonsense. Okay. Whatever. It's
a little bit of both. I've got a game for you. I've got a great game for you.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's hyping up maybe too much. I have a game for you. You decide if it's great or not. But on the game itself at Wembley on Sunday, I like Todd Gurley against this Bengals D because they're appalling against the run, 32nd. Yep. I can think Gurley's going to have a big game. I like that. The only kind of bright spark, I guess, for the Bengals, and you look at statistically where they are, is their passing offense, and probably in a top 10 in terms of total yardage, but they are up against a re-up secondary with Jalen Ramsey, so I don't think there's any Bengal you can really look at. Mixon hasn't had a touchdown all season long. Tyler Boyd is maybe the only look there, I guess. Cooper Kupp I like as well against the Bengals D. A couple of key things for your listeners and viewers to pick up on. When teams come out to London, that is always a point of discussion. And the Raiders, who came earlier on in the season, played at Tottenham Stadium, played really well, of course, beat the Chicago Bears, upset the Bears. They flew out early in the week, and they're the only team that's done that so far. So they basically landed on Monday, spent the whole week here. And that's Gruden had done it differently the year before. He said he learned a lot from that. Most teams come out late. Belichick comes as late as he can when the Patriots come over. And that's what both the Rams and the Bengals are going to do this weekend. They're flying out, landing on Friday. And it's also one other key thing, an early start in London because the clocks go back, right? So it's a 5 o'clock local time in London on Sunday. So if you kind of buy into that a little bit, the jet lag, the West Coast play with the Rams, they might start a bit sluggishly. But like you said, I don't think there's any contest here, even with the neutral territory and the occasion and just the fundamental differential of a game in London. Of course, that's going to have a little bit of bearing, but I think it's Rams all the way. And I think in particular, I like Todd Gurley and Cooper Kupp to fill their boots. So that's enough football, right? Should we get on to the nodders?
Yeah, please, Scott. Yeah. I think we all get it. Start your Rams. Start your Rams and fade your Bengals, except for Tyler Boyd, maybe. Yep.
Tyler Boyd, right. Yeah, exactly. That's our hot take. Start the Rams against the worst defense in the NFL. Okay, so
Hashtag analysis.
This is kind of game... Thanks. Game related, I think. A little bit. So Jalen Ramsey, as I say, coming over with the Rams this Sunday. Incidentally, he would have come over either way because the Jags are coming the following week. It's Jaguars, Texans the following week at Wembley. So we've got back-to-back games in London. Ramsey coming over. He's a subject of my column this week. I'm writing a column for ESPN UK as well. So I've written about Ramsey because I sat down and interviewed
Look
him when
you.
He came over.
You're like nothing good comes from hustling, Nat. How many times have we talked about this? Nothing good comes from hustling. Stop working so hard.
Shilling it, baby. Shilling it. Hey, I hadn't mentioned the column, and I'd name dropped Jalen Ramsey in a sit down I had, so that's fair. That's new territory. He's an interesting guy, and we talked a bit about the Deion Sanders documentary, the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, because I am, of course, a company man at TMR. Yes. And fascinating documentary at that duality of personality that he had, of course, and that Jalen Ramsey feels he has as well, with Jalen Ramsey and 2.0 and his whole swagger is a persona. So he's a really interesting guy. And it got me thinking, I'm coming on TMR's show. I need a game. And I need something that features a player that's coming over to Wembley and features a famous Brit. So I've come up with Jalen or Gordon. So this is Jalen Ramsey or Gordon Ramsay. All right. I've got five quotes for you, Matthew.
And I have to decide whether this was from Jalen Ramsey or Gordon Ramsay. All right, fair. Okay, got it. I understood. Okay. Fun.
No pressure here. My youngest kid, my youngest son, played this game yesterday. He is 9 years old. 5 out of 5, TMR. 5 out of 5, all right? So no pressure.
Here's no the pressure at all.
I know... You ready? Okay. Yeah. I know what I am. I'm a fighter. Was that Gordon Ramsay or Jalen Ramsey?
I think that's Gordon Ramsay.
It was Gordon Ramsay, right? One out of one. Okay. He was doing what was asked of him, and it was making him look really, really good.
He was doing what was asked of him and made him look really, really good. I think that's Jalen Ramsey.
It is Jalen Ramsey. TMR. You're on fire. Right. Okay. A lot of people think they know me. They don't know me.
I think that's also Jalen Ramsey.
They know me. Barry, 3 out of 3. Is he going for the clean sweep? Okay. Push your limit to the absolute extreme.
I think that's Gordon Ramsay.
It is Gordon Ramsay. This is too easy. All right. Can you clean sweep? I think pressure's healthy and very few people can handle it.
I think pressure's healthy and very few people can handle it. That one's tough, but I'm going to say Gordon Ramsay.
It is Gordon Ramsay. TMR. 5 out of 5.
Take that, Nat Coombs kid.
I am proud of you. I'm proud of you. Did you just diss my kid? I love it.
I did. Proud of you. I talk trash to your kid, but Nat Coombs, in true 06010 fashion, I want to steal this game. We should absolutely, Secret Squirrel, we should find better quotes. We should find harder quotes and make Field play these games.
I'm all in on that.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll do that like next week or something like that. Don't steal it from me. I'm stealing it from Nat, so don't steal it from me and give it to Mike and Stefania.
That's fair.
No. Right, there you go. All right. So that's great. Daniel Dopp, Secret Squirrel, would like to pipe in here. He has a question he's requested.
Yeah, real quick, Nat.
Oh, okay.
I just want to know, we've been going back and forth all week as to which house Matthew Berry would be in. Mm. Obviously, living in London, you're very obvious with, Harry Potter. So whether it's Hogwarts, whether it's Ravenclaw, whether it's Hufflepuff or Slytherin, which house do you think Matthew Berry believes in?
Gryffindor. So the four houses. You mentioned Hogwarts. Hogwarts is the overall.
Mm. Gryffindor, Slytherin, Hufflepuff, or Ravenclaw.
That is a question. Might surprise you. We've debated many times over here at ESPN UK. I think it is a toss up between Slytherin. There are elements of Slytherin in TMR, but in the end, I think it's got to be Hogwarts. I think TMR comes good in the end and flies the Hogwarts flag. So I'm saying Hogwarts.
You're saying Gryffindor. Gryffindor. Yeah, which is Gryffindor, the wrong answer.
Hogwarts.
Wrong answer.
Yeah. Gryffindor.
Our listeners believe that he lives over there.
He lives in the land of J.K. Rowling. If anyone would understand the world of Harry Potter, it's Nat Coombs. So there you go.
Correct.
We got a bunch of randos on the internet voting. Whatevs. But here, Nat Coombs, clearly a Harry Potter expert because he's got an accent in the whole thing. Quite. Yeah, obviously.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'm Gryffindor.
I've got a backdrop. I've got a Big Ben backdrop behind me. I mean,
it's science. Right? It's totally science.
That's exactly what it is.
Follow Nat Coombs on Twitter, at Nat Coombs. He's the host of the Nat Coombs Show on ESPN. We can find your column at ESPN UK. Where can we find that? We want to read that.
Yeah. ESPN.co.uk. Sometimes they appear. I did an all-pro lineup of all the international series games over all the years. I put together a best-of team. And I think that kind of found its way onto ESPN.com. So sometimes they kind of flip over. Otherwise, ESPN.co.uk. And it's a weekly column that I drop. Yeah.
And I'm sure if you just follow at Nat Coombs, COOMBS, I'm sure you share links
Instagram
and the whole thing. And everyone can see that. Anything else we got to promote, Nat?
No, but the deal you're going to do in terms of stealing that game, that's fine with me. I give you my blessing as long as you continue to promote what I'm doing as that game appears on whichever show in the future, if that sounds fair.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah, we got no problem admitting where we stole it from.
I'll get the paperwork drawn.
By all means, please have your lawyers reach out to mine, which is Secret Squirrel Esquire. At the firm of Squirrel, Clay, and Smizzle.
It's accurate.
Is that right?
I think I've dealt with it before.
Or is it Clay Squirrel Smizzle?
Yeah, CSS.
Clay Squirrel and Smizzle. Anyway, Nat, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. I hope you have a great game on Sunday. Of course, Houston and the Jaguars in London the week after. So after you get Rams-Bengals, you get Texans-Jags. Is London ready for Minshew Mania?
We've already got the tashes, to be honest. The majority of London already is carrying the facial hair. So, yeah, they can't wait for Minshew Mania. Can't wait for that one. And it will, you know, complete contradiction to what I said right at the top. On paper, that is a better game. But it might end up, you know, the game on Sunday is the one that flies, and the Texans Jags, you know, flatters to deceive. But we're just, you know, delighted to have two back-to-back games, four games in London this season. So the NFL just keeping on growing and rolling over here. So it's good to see.
It's great to see. It's always a pleasure to have you, my friend. You should have Cleo Lemon on the Nat Coombs show later this week.
That's
a great shout. There you go. You should absolutely do that.
Anyway,
follow at Nat Coombs on Twitter, and there are more London games, so I'm sure we will talk to you again in the future. Thank you, my friend. Great to see you, and good luck this year with everything you're doing.
Likewise. Take care, TMR.
There you go. The definitive Nat Coombs interview, at least until we have another one. So always fun. Always a great time to have Nat on the show. So, I'm currently in Disney World. As you listen to this, I'm currently in Disney World. I'm knee deep in like a turkey leg or something like that. I'm standing in line at Avatar or Star Wars Land or something like that. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm having a blast. And, you should follow at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram, at Daniel Dopp on Twitter, at Something to Break on Instagram for him, at Stefania_ESPN on Twitter, at StefaniaB87 on the gram, at MikeClayNFL on Twitter and Instagram. And I, of course, I'm at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media. Literally, I'm at, pick a social media network. I'm at Matthew Berry TMR on all of them, except the Fantasy Life app, the free Fantasy Life app, which you should download. I'm at Matthew Berry on that one. So for all of us here at the 06010 and at Nat Coombs, peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island. Going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.